Welcome to another episode of Your Guide to Engineering, where we talk about becoming engineers and overall becoming better people through problem solving and a touch of humanity. I'm your host, Ashley, and I'm an electrical engineer. Now, I did not become an engineer overnight. The journey was a long one. It took me 9 years to finish my degree, to be exact. Along the way, I was at some point working full-time, taking care of my kid, trying to keep up with academics, but I made it through, and now I'm here to share my story into engineering while also diving into technical engineering topics. Overall, my goal is to help you build confidence while learning engineering, no matter where you are and or where you start. So in episode 3, I mentioned a different type of variable than the traditional variable seen in elementary and intermediate algebra courses. Today, I'm going to discuss just that, the topic of random variables, and I plan to talk about topics leading up to random variables before formally introducing them. I'm going to review some fundamental topics found in probability, which include sample spaces and counting. I'm also going to share some of my earlier experiences with math and pre-calculus leading up to my junior undergraduate level engineering probability course. Before I throw you guys into the water, I do want to emphasize the topic I'm going to discuss does involve topics found in pre-calculus. I encourage you, no matter what your background is, though, to listen through. I am a firm believer that it's never too early, nor never too late to learn something new. I have found that early exposure to topics has ultimately led me to succeed, in which I'm going to dive into later on in the episode. But for now, let's get to it. So we live in a world of randomness. What I mean by randomness is something for which is non-deterministic. So before I explain something that is non-deterministic, let me explain something that is deterministic. Something that is deterministic involves where there is an action under some given conditions, there is a predictable and consistent result as part of that action. So for example, here on Earth, if I were to jump off my seat right now, physically where I stand, I can predict with 100% certainty that the outcome is me coming right back down with my feet meeting the ground, or maybe my face. I don't know, but anywho. But in contrast, a common example of a non-deterministic event is where we roll a six-sided dice, which each side is labeled 1 through 6. I cannot guarantee with 100% that for the first roll, I'm going to get a 1, and that for the second roll, I can get a 3. The way we represent randomness is through experiments and outcomes. So for example, in this rolling the dice example, we have 6 single results or 6 possible outcomes, 1 through 6. All the possible outcomes of the experiment make up what we call the sample space. We assign a designated probability of observing a single outcome in the sample space, and this probability is expressed as a ratio of that outcome occurring over all the possible outcomes. So for example, we can get an outcome of, let's say, 2 once out of all the 6 possible outcomes. So the probability is the ratio or a fraction 1/6. So let's consider another experiment where we roll the dice twice. For this experiment, we will have a different sample space than just rolling the dice once. The total number of outcomes resulting from this experiment is going to be more than 6 because, as I mentioned before, we can get a run on 1 on the first roll and a 3 on the second roll, and we actually call this an event. We can consider another event of getting a 6 for the first roll or a 2 for the second roll, or we can get something like a 4 for the first roll and a 5 for the second roll. And we can begin to see the many possible arrangements of 1 through 6 we can get for the first roll and the second roll. And we count the number of arrangement possibles, and the way that I like to think about counting is more through like in terms of branches. So like physical branches on trees. And we start off, the way that I like to think about it is starting off with a single point. And we branch off every time we make a choice. So we start off with a point. And for the first roll, I'm going to branch off to 6 different results, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. So I'm going to have branches labeled 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then each of those branches is going to have their 6 own branches because we can make 6 possible choices for that second roll. And what we end up having is just 6 groups of 6. Having 6 groups of 6 just leads to a simple multiplication problem. So we're going to have 6 times 6 is 36. So we have 36 possible outcomes for this experiment where we're rolling the dice twice. So let's consider another counting problem. And this counting problem is different than rolling the dice twice. So let's say that I have 5 students. In each of these students, I have assigned the letters A, B, C, D, and E. I also have 5 chairs where each chair I have numbered 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And I want to consider all the possible arrangements I can assign the students to the chairs. Again, I like to think of these problems in terms of branches. And we start off with a point and we branch off every time we make a choice. So I start off with my first point and I'm going to branch off to branch A, to branch B, to branch C, to branch D, to branch E. So I'm going to have 5 branches representing the first chair, though the first choice I can make for the first chair. So, okay. But then I realize for the second chair, I'm reduced by 1 student. So let's say that I selected student A. So we're for the first chair, we're going to look at branch A. And branch A is going to branch off to 4 choices, which is going to be labeled B, C, D, and E. And so we can see, okay, for the first choice, I'm going to have 5 branches. And then for the second choice, I'm going to have 5 groups of 4 branches, which brings the total to 20. And then for those 20, I'm going to have 3 choices for each of those 20 choices. So 20 times 3 brings us to 60 total branches. And then for those 60 branches we have made up until now, we're going to have 2 choices. So we get 60 times 2, which brings us to 120 possible arrangements. We can arrange students A, B, C, D, and E, 2 chairs, 1, 2, 3, and 4. And then finally, for that last chair, we're just left with 1 student. So we're going to have 120 branches. We're going to have 120 branches with 1 group assigned to those 120 branches. So that brings our total number of arrangements we can arrange students A, B, C, D, and E to chairs 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 to 120 possible arrangements. So now that we've talked about counting and sample spaces, let's talk about random variables. A random variable is represented by a capital letter, like let's say capital X. And a random variable is an integer value that is used to represent any of the possible outcomes of the experiment. So if we were to revisit the dice example, we can say, okay, what is the probability of X equaling 6? Well, that probability is just 1/6. We also have to note that for this random variable, the example is considered a discrete random variable, which means that the outcomes are countable and not necessarily infinite. A example of a random variable that is not discrete, we call it a continuous random variable. And a continuous random variable, for an it's used to describe an experiment that can have infinite number of outcomes. So one problem I can think of from the top of my head that I find particularly interesting and fun when I think about is the experiment of flipping a coin labeled heads or tails until we can get, let's say, tails. There is a chance or there is an outcome where I can flip the coins and get nothing but heads until I actually get tails. I can, in theory, flip the coins an infinite number of times and get nothing but heads until I get a tail. And this coin flipping experiment can actually be represented through something we call binary strings, but I'm not going to dive into that this episode. I'm going to dive into that maybe in some future episode. But nevertheless, there are experiments that there are infinite number of results. And for those particular experiments, the way that the random variable is described or handled is different than the way that we handle discrete random variables. And for today, I'm just going to describe a little bit more on discrete random variables. And particularly what I wanted to talk about is the probability distribution of a discrete random variable. And the probability distribution is for a discrete random variable is sometimes referred to as the probability mass function. Now, I like to call it a probability distribution because to me that term makes more sense. Because what the probability distribution is, it's quite literally its name. It's how the probability is distributed over all possible outcomes of a particular experiment. So if we were to look at the dice experiment again, we know, okay, each of the outcome, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, has an equal probability of 1/6. And we say that the probability distribution for the random variable describing the experiment with the dice is uniform because, again, all the outcomes have the same probability. And if we were to consider the example of the 5 students with the 5 chair, the random variable can take on any one of these outcomes with equal probability. And there are different types of distributions used to describe particular experiments. And one of these distributions is known as the binomial distribution. Now, I don't want to dive into the binomial distribution today. That is a topic for a future episode. But what I want to start discussing as it relates to the binomial distribution, it's more of a personal story to offer you some words of advice to begin closing out the episode. So, binomial distribution. I was exposed to the binomial distribution formally in my junior level undergraduate engineering course. For those who may be listening into the podcast for the first time, let me tell you a little bit about my story. I did not complete high school. I actually dropped out in the 9th grade. So I did receive my high school diploma eventually, and I enrolled in community college. And part of enrolling into community college involved me taking a placement exam. And the placement exam actually placed me in some very remedial pre-algebra courses. So at community college, I started off with some baby pre-algebra. And eventually, I worked my way up to intermediate algebra, and I actually ended up failing that course like twice. I passed it the third time, and that was a struggle. And then eventually, I took college algebra, in which I did a lot better in, and then eventually, I took pre-calculus. In pre-calculus, we covered topics like ranging from things like analytical geometry, trigonometry, vector, matrices, complex numbers, sequences, series, all of that in one semester. When I was first taking that class, I remember looking at the syllabus and I was just thinking to myself, there ain't no way I'm going to learn all of this in one semester. I was scared. Honestly, I was a bit overwhelmed by what we were going to cover. However, at that point, I had developed a certain confidence in myself. I realized from previous courses that as long as I apply myself, I'm going to be just okay. So I ended up doing just that. I ended up sitting down and working out problems, and I ended up learning so much that semester by just doing that alone. And one of the topics I sat down and really grasped that one course, it ended up being key to understanding the binomial distribution that I encountered later on when I transferred to a four-year university. And the topic that I sat down and learned in pre-calculus was the topic of binomial expansion. I don't want to dive into the binomial expansion this episode because that's not the topic of this episode, but there is something in the binomial expansion that ended up sticking with me, which was the binomial coefficient. And there is a relationship to what I learned later on in probability to the binomial coefficients. I realized, the point that I'm trying to make is that I realized from my experience, my earlier experiences in math, is that I can really not count the number of times I've sat down and learned something only for those things to come back in some way, shape, or form somewhere else. A lot of things that I've encountered the first time around doesn't make sense, but by the time I see them again, they're not as foreign. I'm more able to handle these things because I've seen them before. I know what to do with them. I know how to deal with them. And I want to emphasize, had I let my feeling of being overwhelmed or scared stop me from really applying myself from pre-calculus, I would have never realized that I'm capable of learning so much. And part of engineering is learning how to learn new things and exploring your capacity. It's not about what you know, it's about what you can learn. And so on that note, I will leave it up to you to learn more about, if you're curious, binomial expansion and the coefficients found in binomial expansion. And I'll leave it up to you to try to learn more about random variables and their distribution. So that's about it for this episode. And I thank you for listening. And I will talk to you guys next time.